Welcome to Session 5 of The Secret of Radiant Living. And in Session 5, we're going to talk about the secret of radiant living is happy children. In the last section, we talked about a happy home life. And obviously, if you've got a happy home life, you're going to have much happier children. And remember that the overriding thought of this class, The Secret of Radiant Living, is to understand that life is about God. God has a plan for both now and for eternity. And God, when He created man and gave him dominion over the things of the earth and told him to populate the earth, God's desire was that the earth would be populated with children who would grow up to be adults who would choose God, who would choose God's way so that they can live with God for eternity. People, the whole point of life is to be born so that we can be born again. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So from the minute you have a child, that should be your number one goal in life, is that you want that child to be joined to the Lord and to live together with you for eternity. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children," there's your grandkids and your great-grandkids, are the glory of their fathers. See, children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. Your own life is a gift from God. The best thing you can do with your life is invest it in God's plan. Invest this life in that which will outlast it, which is eternity. And your children are a gift from God. First and foremost, they are here on this earth to do the will of the Lord, to learn to order their steps in God's word. Because children are an heritage of the Lord. See, they're God's inheritance. And God wants you to lead them into His way so that they can be part of His heavenly family, just like you are, both now and for eternity. So number one, children are a gift from God. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." So this is point number two. The secret to happy children is, number one, to realize that they are a gift from God, and your goal in life is to lead them back to God. And number two, to teach your children by example. Let them see you walk with the Lord. Let them see you walk in integrity. Because like Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." I can tell you that the polar opposite of that would be the unjust man walks in the folly of his own ways, and his children are cursed after him. So the way you walk as a parent has everything to do with determining whether you're passing on generational blessings or generational cursings. And I know that everybody listening to this tape wants to pass on generational blessings. So hey, get with the program and walk in the integrity of the Lord. The third thing, if you take your Bibles and go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we need to teach them that they are children of God. They're our children, but they're children of God, and they have a heavenly Father who loves them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and in verse 4, we read, sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. Deuteronomy 6:4, and boy, is this the first thing every child needs to learn. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." We live in a day where 90% plus of Christendom is teaching their children just the opposite of this. Folks, do you know how blessed you are to understand that this phrase that God gave, I don't know how many times, probably 100 times in the Old Testament, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Do you realize what a high and holy privilege it is to be able to teach our children that there is one God and Father, and that there's one Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even that, to know that, is such a wonderful privilege for us to teach to our next generation. You know why? Because in teaching them that, we are promulgating the blessings of God upon our children's life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Teach your children that they are a child of God, and that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with A-L-L, all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You know why? Because if they're in your heart, you're going to put them in your children's heart. If they're not in your heart, it's going to be pretty hard for you to communicate that to your children, because children learn from example. Children pick up on what you do, not what you say. That's why that verse is so great in Proverbs. The just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. The just man walks in his integrity. He doesn't speak about it. He lives it day and night, 24/7. It's not just a charade or something you do when you're at church or something you do when you're around believers. It's something you do in the privacy of your own closet, the privacy of your office, the privacy of your bathroom, the privacy of your car. This is something you live 24/7. It's in your heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What does that mean? Just what I said. We're living and speaking the truth of God's word 24/7. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest, I can't even say the word, F-I-L-L-E-D-S-T, not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12, here's a sign that you should put warning, warning, warning in your margin. Because this is saying when you have all the good things that the Lord has given you, a beautiful home, a car, food on the table, money in the bank, it says then when you have all that good stuff, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And ladies and gentlemen, I see this in our world today. I see families that God has blessed so abundantly, and they just, once they make it, once they get it, God drops by the wayside. He's no longer first and foremost in their life. They put God in a closet and take him out every once in a while and worship. No. We have to teach our children, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. God is the first cause in our life. God is the ultimate Thule, T-H-U-L-E. He is the ultimate reason for man's existence. And people, when you have all this stuff it talks about in Deuteronomy, and you begin to forget the Lord because you're too caught up in the fun that you're having now that he's blessed you, that person begins to be the third kind of soil in the sower and the seed, where the word of God that was sown in their heart begins to get choked by the thorns and the thistles, and they may produce a little fruit, but they don't bring forth any fruit to perfection. See, God wants his word sown in the best soil of our heart, giving him the best time of our day, giving him the best focus of our energy throughout the day. because God wants his word sown on that good soil, that in a good and honest heart we bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Because like I said in the last session, there's going to come a day when every one of us, including the children that you raise, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every man must give an account of those things done in his body, whether good or bad. Well, we want to teach our children to have a good account. Because number one, you know, we want them to have a good account when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But also, people, we want them to be happy in this life. We're going to get to that verse in a second. And you know how your kids are happy? When they are walking according to the word of the Lord, the word of God, the word of the Lord God Almighty. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, there's a beautiful verse. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, J-E-S-H-U-R-U-N. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. This is where you want to take your children. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. That word Jeshurun was a name that God gave himself as a token of affection, a term of affection. It's a poetic name meaning God just loves you. He just wants to wrap his arms around you. And in wrapping his loving arms around you and caring for you intently, he wants you to walk in the fullness of his power. In our administration, that would be walking in all nine manifestations. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, the God of affection, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, he helps us, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath, listen to this, not only is God your refuge, but underneath are the everlasting arms. Whose arms? The everlasting arms of God. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. This is what we need to be teaching our kids from the time they are born. This is what we need to be speaking to them in the womb. This is what we need to be teaching our children from the time they are born. We need to bring them into a sweet, wholesome environment, and we need to speak to that baby when it's one day old. You've got a Father in heaven that loves you. You've got a Father that wants to protect you. We need to speak these words of blessing over our children from the day they're born. You know, it's the time that we think kids are learning the least that they're actually learning the most. They say the age of plasticity, a child's basic character in their mind, is formed by the time the child is three. You know what the child has done by the time he's three? Not a whole lot of conversing. You know what they're doing those first 3 years of their life? They are just like a sponge. They're taking everything in. They're taking in, does mommy treat daddy with respect? They're taking in, does daddy treat mommy with love and honor? They're taking in how mommy and daddy act when the heat is on, when there's tension in the house. And all this is being processed and becomes part of that child's thought patterns. So that by the time a child is 6 years old, that child's personality, basic personality, is formed. You know, in renewing the mind and the regeneration of the mind, granted, I have put off a lot of bad habits and so have you. But the truth is, my personality is still very much like it was when I was a child at 6 years old. I've amplified it, the good parts of it. So, folks, the time that most parents think children are learning the least, oh, you can talk in front of them, they're just a baby, that is actually when the child is taking in the most of what's going in their environment, and they're taking it all in, and they're learning from experience. Experience. And so that's why one of the secrets of Radiant Living is the parent, for the individual to get God's program right in their head, walk in love towards their spouse, no matter how hard or diligent you have to work at it, and then provide that child a loving, nurturing, God-like environment so that you walk in your integrity and so that your children can be blessed. You know, two things that ought to just be a joy to every parent's heart, that ought to be so much motivation for any parent to want to do it right in this life, is number one, that by doing God's will correctly in their own life, they are breaking off generational curses and they're passing on generational blessings unto 1,000 generations. You want to leave your kid an inheritance? Well, straighten up your life. Line up your life with God's word. And number two, everlasting life is a real concept. I can't think of anything that would be more heart-wrenching than to think that you're going to get into the kingdom of God and that your spouse or your child is not going to get there with you. Man, that would have to just eat at the soul of a person. Now, I know if someone's an adult, there's not a whole lot you can do to make them change. Like I said in the last session, you can certainly pray intercessory prayer for them. But boy, while they're a child, and especially under the age of 13, do you understand that until your child is 13, basically you are their covering? You are their spiritual covering. Else were your children unclean. So you are the spiritual covering for your child until they reach the age of accountability and can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior on their own. And prior to that time, they are in the age of directives, where their primary purpose on earth from the age they are one born until the age of 13 is their primary responsibility as a human being is to learn to obey their loving parent without question. That's their number one thing to do. Why? So that when they become a youth, they learn to obey the Lord without question. And when they grow up spiritually to a father or a man, age 30 or above, spiritually speaking, they really learn to obey God without question. Boy, God says jump, and they don't even say how high. They just start jumping, and they get the instructions on the way up. But people, these are learned behaviors. You know, the word sin means to miss the mark. I've always thought it was interesting when it says we're all born under sin when we come into the world. And you know why I think that's so interesting? Is because once we're born, we have to be taught by someone what the mark, the point of life is. Until that, we're in sin. Until we understand the point of life so we even have the mark to aim for, we don't even know how to not live in sin. We don't know where the mark is. So the number one thing that parents are to do is to teach their children the purpose of life. And they teach it just like Jesus did, lovingly and by an example. Isaiah chapter 54. Man, what a wonderful, blessed, holy privilege. I often tell couples when they're in here being counseled, my goodness gracious, if you can't get it together for yourself, for goodness sake, get it together for your children. Because, you know, sometimes that's all the motivation a person needs to really turn their life around and get it together. Isaiah 54 and verse 13 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." People, how are your children going to be taught of the Lord? Is the Lord going to come down here and physically manifest and teach them? No. They're taught by the Lord by you teaching them what the Lord's will is. And what is the result of that? Great, great, great shall be the peace of thy children. Man, we got kids today bouncing off the walls on Ritalin, ADD, Mickey D, BVD, all these initials attached to them. Why? Because they don't know how to have peace. Well, the answer to teaching a child to live peaceful is to teach them about their loving Heavenly Father, who is their refuge, who is their Jeshurun. To walk in the integrity of the Lord in your public life and in your private life, and to lead by example. Because number one, children are a gift from God. Number two, we are supposed to teach them by example. Number three, we are supposed to teach them about a Heavenly Father who loves them and wants them to love them back. And number four, we are to teach them to walk in power in all nine manifestations. I know there are people that have told me their kids have spoken in tongues as early as 4 years old. I know families that have told me about their children ministering healing as early as 5 or 6 years old. You know why your kids are going to speak in tongues? You know why your kids are going to minister healing? You know why your kids are going to go as a child to the Lord for wisdom and knowledge? That's right, because they see mommy and daddy do it. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, please. As I said, to married couples, your number one covenant is with your spouse, to have that sweet, godly, loving relationship with one another. But after that commitment, your commitment to God, your commitment to your spouse, your next, your highest priority on this earth are definitely your children, because you want to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that they can be happy. You know when kids aren't happy? When they don't know the score. When they don't know what the rules of life are. When they don't know how to play the game. Years and years ago, psychologists did a study where they had a large open field, and they fenced in a large portion of that field about as big as a half a football field, about half a football field. The kids spread out from edge to edge, right up to the edge of the fences, and used every square inch of that land. And then after about 3 months, they came out and removed the fence and told the children not to get outside of where the fence, the boundaries were, or they'd be punished. Well, all the kids clumped together in the middle of the field out of fear, lost their liberty. Why? Because they didn't know where the boundaries were. See, Satan wants you to think that boundaries keep you in. Ladies and gentlemen, boundaries are what set you free to live the most joy-filled, loving, guilt-free, shame-free life that can possibly be lived on this earth. Boundaries are the way to go. Boundaries set you free. And Proverbs, we're going to read Proverbs 3:13, but you know the word Proverbs is especially for children. That's why there's 31 chapters. You can read one a day to your kids, as much as you want, as little or often as you like. And Proverbs means words to rule or govern life, and they're all written to the young man, to the child, before they're 13, so that when they're from 13 to 30, these Proverbs will be deep in their heart so that they will know how to live and love God, so they will know how to seek the Lord, so they will know how to offer the Lord the first fruit, so they will know how to do business deals, so they will know how to walk in integrity. Because Proverbs is what gives the child the rules of life so that they can apply them to the boundaries, and it gives them wisdom, mishlei, words that rule or govern life so that they can be happy. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding." Like I said, this is all written to young people. So young people are happy when they are trained with boundaries. I'm not a person that's a big fan of corporal punishment. I don't like it. But there needs to be cause and effect. There needs to be accountability taught to children from a very young age. I don't care if it's time out or they don't get to do something special they were going to do, but kids need to learn very, very young that there are consequences to disobedience and there are rewards that go with obedience. Because it said in Proverbs 3:1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." This is a commandment with promise. God is saying that if you will teach your child the words of his law, they will add to your child length of days, get more done in a day, long life, will actually physically live a longer number of years, and peace. These are promises that go along with us teaching our children the words of the Lord. Who would not want to give your children length of days, long life, and peace? Well, folks, there's a way you do it. You get right with the Lord and you teach your children the words of the Lord. These are promises that God backs up. These are gilt-edged security that your Father in heaven says, yea and amen, because children are a gift from God, and ultimately they belong to Him. You get to steward them for their lifetime, but they ultimately are here in order to be part of God's family, to recognize Him as their Father, and to be with Him for eternity. Look at Isaiah chapter 66, please. Verse 22, this is talking about the new heavens and earth. We mentioned that briefly in an earlier session. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in the closing session. But ladies and gentlemen, this earth upon which we live is not the earth that we're going to live on for eternity. This earth is going to be metamorphosed like a butterfly. It will be transformed into one level in the millennial kingdom when Jesus comes to reign on earth. And under Jesus' reign, which is an adversarial reign, he's going to reign with a rod of iron. We are going to help him bring earth back to its Edenic or paradise form. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, this earth isn't going to be destroyed. It's going to be once again transformed, metamorphosed into a new heaven and earth and new heavens. I mean, the whole cosmos is going to change. And God himself is going to come to earth and live among his people and dwell among his people for eternity. That's Revelation 21 and 22. So right now, Jesus is under God, ruling on the earth, in effect, through us, through men and women who have Christ in them. In the 1,000-year reign, the parousia, Jesus will personally be present on earth, and once again, we will be helping him rule the earth for that 1,000-year reign. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there is another transformation of the heavens and the earth, where God himself, because Jesus is going to present all this back to God, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, and God himself is going to come and dwell on earth. And in that heaven and earth, we will see God face to face, whatever that is. We will see God face to face. And that's why in Isaiah 66:22 it says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth," singular, "which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord." Look at this. I hope you're looking at a Bible. "So shall your seed and your name remain." Man, oh man, oh man. That is awesome. It says in Ezekiel 37:25 that you and the new heaven and earth, heavens and earth, you shall dwell with your children forever. That is the number one goal for your children in life, to get into the kingdom. And let me just explain this a little bit further. I know there are all kind of ideas floating around there. Will we know who we are in the kingdom? Will we remember this life? Because, you know, there's a verse in there that says that the kingdom's going to be so wonderful that we're not going to remember the former life. Well, yeah, we're not going to remember it in a negative sense. we're not going to remember it in that we're just consumed for eternity with all the things we did wrong here, but we are going to remember it. I'm going to know who I am for eternity, and I'm going to know you, my friends, and my loved ones, and my family through eternity. I'm going to recognize my parents. I'm going to recognize my siblings. I'm going to recognize my grandmother, who I miss so much to this day. And I know people say, yeah, well, no, you're not going to remember who you are because you'll be transformed. Well, let me just ask you a question. Let me just get away from just sheer faith for a second, and let me just ask you something rationally, logically. The day you were born again, the spirit that you were born with was instantly jettisoned, and a brand new spirit was regenerated, metamorpho-o, transformed, created within you, that is the new spirit that you are going to live with for eternity. Okay, my spirit got transformed decades ago. Did I forget who I was? No, I still know who I am. I've got that brand new eternal spirit, and I still know I'm Peg, born in Rome, Georgia. Well, people, when Christ comes back, our body is going to be transformed into a body changed like unto His glorious spiritual body. And I'm no more going to forget where I was, who I am when I've got my new body, than I'm forgetting who I am now that I've got my new spirit. So here's the deal, people. You're going to know your kids. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, God says, I will make, shall remain, how long? Forever. Remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. You are going to know your kids in the future. Ezekiel 37. We'll just read this. Verse 25. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. For my servant David shall be their prince forever. This was an analogy talking about Jesus Christ. You are going to know your children forever. That's the goal of life, is to be with your children forever. Man, oh man, to me, that's just awesome to know that. It's just totally awesome to know that. Well, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is your job as a parent, to train up your child in the way of the Lord, in the way he or she should go, so that when they reach that age of accountability, they can choose the way of righteousness. They can choose the way of the Lord. They can choose to do God's will throughout their life and be happy. Don't you want the best thing for your kids? But see, some of these things that the Lord tells us to do, like training our children and giving them rules and holding them accountable. Oh my goodness, if ever there was a generation that lacks accountability, that so points the finger at everybody else, to teach your children accountability, that there will come a day when every one of us must give an account at the judgment seat of the things done in our body, whether good or bad. And if you look in your syllabus at the three stages of natural birth, at the three stages of natural growth, the three stages of growth, this is a pattern that applied to all children. It applies to all Hebrew children. It even applied to Jesus. I talked about it briefly earlier. But if you look at this chart, it's so simple. The child from the day 1 to 13, their number one priority here on earth is learning to obey their godly parents without question. Their basic personality is formed by the age of 6. But I'm not saying, you know, that just because the child is supposed to learn to obey from 1 to 13 that it's going to be simple. But I will tell you one thing, and I can't remember all the scientific names, so I'm not even going to try, but I will tell you something I do understand from my study and my research. that there is actually the chemical makeup in the brain from the time a child is born till the time it reaches puberty. The chemical makeup is made up so that they will receive authority and direction without rebellion. That is how the brain is chemically wired. When puberty hits, different chemicals are released in the brain that actually begin to cause the child to want to separate from the parent, to want to find their own identity, to want to take on accountability. And that is why in the Hebrew culture, the age of 13 was the age of accountability. I mean, there's literally something that said at the bar mitzvah of a 13-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl, I release today the father from this child's accountability, where the father is released from the responsibility of the decisions the child makes from the time they're 13. But when the child turns 13, the parent makes sure that that child had a group of elders that they felt comfortable with, that when they made any major decisions, they went to that group of elders after they made the decision and got the input and the wisdom of the elders. Then when that child grows up, 30 and up, like when Jesus started his ministry, that is when they're supposed to be grown up mentally and training the younger ones. They're supposed to be the wise ones that are giving guidance, walking in wisdom, and teaching others. So the bottom line, folks, is it'd be great if the parent was walking like that father, 30 and up, where the parents are grown up, training their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, giving their children godly guidance, walking in wisdom, and teaching others. But sometimes people are very young when they have children, and guess what? That's what grandparents are for. That's one of the great things about grandparents. If kids are born to immature folks, then they've got grandparents there to be the solid ground and to help them have wisdom. I mean, this is the way God set life up. And it's very cool. Look at Isaiah 33:6 while we're in Isaiah. Isaiah 33:6. And that is not what I'm looking for. It says, wisdom and knowledge are a child's stability. Wisdom and knowledge are a child's stability. Oh, I'm in Ezekiel 33:6. No wonder I can't find it. First mistake I made in 5 minutes. Isaiah, yep. Isaiah 33, look at verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. You know, people, God has an eternal plan, and he's not changing it for you or anybody. So what we need to do is learn the plan of the Lord, get with the plan of the Lord, and teach our children the plan of the Lord. Isaiah 33:5, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength and salvation, wholeness. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. See, the fear, the reverence of the Lord is to be treasured in our heart. We are to teach our children to treasure it in their heart, the reverence of God. Goodness gracious, how many people reverence God anymore? Oh, my. I mean, you know, you've got, like I said, TV celebrities saying, I'm God, saying that they're God. That's not reverence of the one holy true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And he has one Son, Jesus Christ, and there is one way to salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. And this God loves all of mankind, wants to take care of every person here on this earth. But Satan tries to teach children and adults to rebel. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And how do you drive that foolishness out of a child? By continuing to teach them the mishlei, the words to rule or govern their life. Is that work? Yeah. But hey, it's going to be, you're going to put effort into raising your kids anyway, so why not raise them right? You know, you're going to put effort into your day anyway, so why not do it right? And so if you look on that three stages of growth chart, you'll see at the bottom, it says that age of directives is age 1 through 13. That's when that child's brain is chemically set to take directives, to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. At puberty, around 13, the chemical composition of the brain changes, and that's when the child moves into the age of decisions. And if they've been raised well, they will have elders around them that they will feel confident to come and run these decisions by. And then one day they will become the elders, helping the younger people make healthy, godlike decisions. Because wisdom and knowledge are the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The strength of wholeness is wisdom and stability. The fear of the reverence of the Lord is His treasure. That's the thing we treasure the most in our heart. And while I'm talking about treasuring things in their heart, you know, we must teach our children to have a healthy imagination. We must teach our children to train their imagination. We need to encourage healthy imaginations by reading them records of Jesus and the kingdom of God and the stories of God being a loving heavenly Father and Jesus being the wonderful Savior. Because the word imagination, it literally means conception. It literally means to conceive and bring into manifestation. That's why it says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why you look around your life, and whatever your life is, people, it's exactly what you've brought upon yourself from the imaginations of your own heart. So when we teach a child to imagine the things of God, the ideas of Jesus Christ, to put on the mind of Christ, then they literally conceive God's blessings, God's ideas for their life, and they bring those blessings into manifestation. Without a healthy imagination, children and adults become spiritually and creatively sterile. Nothing good comes out. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 21, well, in verse 20 it says, "For the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen," remember, written in the stars, "being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power," God's eternal power and Godhead, "so they are without excuse, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." People, nobody wants to raise a fool. We all want to raise wise children. And the way we do that is we get them to know there is a God, know that God has a plan, acknowledge Him as God, keep that thankfulness towards God, and to keep their imagination healthy with the things of God running through their imagination. See, when we fail to be thankful and glorify God, our imagination automatically becomes vain or useless, worthless. It doesn't mean that your imagination stops working. It just means it's working against you, or it's working against your child. A person with a vain imagination is a pessimist. Hey, do you know any pessimists? You know what a pessimist does? They imagine failure instead of success. We need to be teaching our children to use their imagination, to agree with God's word, and see themselves the way God sees them: happy, healthy, prosperous, loving, thankful. You know, I was talking to this person on the phone the other day that I've done a lot for recently, and I'm happy to do it. But, you know, I was talking to him the other day, and I had done something else. I'd sent him something else, and it was something that took me a lot of time and effort to produce. And, you know, they didn't even say thank you. It was just like, yeah, I got it. They didn't even say thank you. And, you know, I didn't love them any less. I'm not going to stop giving to that person, but I thought, wouldn't it be nice if they just seemed thankful? And all of a sudden, I pushed the pause button, and a light bulb went on in my head, and it said, wow, Peg, that's God. You don't have to be thankful to God. You get to be thankful to God. But the thing is, people, it benefits us first and foremost to be thankful, and it most assuredly blesses Him to hear in His ears, instead of us whining and complaining all the time, to literally count our blessings and just say, Father, thank you. Thank you that I have a brain. Thank you that I have eyes to see the beauty of your world. Thank you that I have food on the table. Thank you that I have a wonderful spouse. Thank you that I have children. Thank you that I have a home. You know what I think unthankfulness is? I think it's an abomination. I know when I was a kid, I learned that little song. There are two little magic words that will open any door you see. One little word is thanks, and the other little word is please. We have just lost so much decorum, so much virtue, so much common courtesy in the world in which we live. People, we can bring it into our own life and certainly teach it to our children. It says in, go to Zechariah chapter 9, please, Zechariah. Deuteronomy 18, we're not going to go there because I'm running out of time again, but Deuteronomy 18, verses 19 through 12. God talks about all these abominations of the nations. And ladies and gentlemen, there are plenty of abominations out there in the world today. Plenty of abominations, plenty of things that go counterpurpose to God's word. It says, don't let your children learn any of the abominations of the nations. Just because somebody at their school says it's right, or their teacher, or even somebody on TV says it's right, people, if it does not line up with God's word, teach your children to do better. Because if they don't learn evil, they can't imagine evil. If they're learning righteousness, you know what they're going to imagine? That's right, righteousness. Because people, the imagination that you plant in your child is what's going to, quote, create their future. It's going to create the life they live, because the imagination that you carry in your mind right now is creating your circumstances that surround you this day. Like it or not, that's the way life works. It's an immutable law. Imagination means conception. And what you carry in your mind, it will come to pass. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man on his brother. I don't know of anything uglier than a person who lacks compassion. Sometimes I see these, what do they call, supermodels or what have you, these women that are supposed to have the perfect face and the perfect body and all this. And you look at their face and you just see hardness. And then you hear about them on the news or whatever, pitching temper tantrums on an airplane or throwing stuff at people. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know anything uglier than a selfish disposition. I don't know anything that makes a person more beautiful, no matter what their face looks like, than to have mercy and compassion and a loving spirit. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Verse 10. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Could God say it any plainer? People, this is what we need to be teaching our children, This is what we need to be living, is carrying the word of the Lord, the imaginations of our heart, lining up with mercy and compassion and judgment according to God's word. What would that entail? Part of judgment according to God's word would be, I'm righteous. I'm worthy through Jesus Christ to receive his blessings. And so are you. Verse 11. So God asked them these things in verse 11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. People, God doesn't send that wrath on you, but it's the wrath that comes into a person's life when they remove themselves from the blessings of the Lord. We want to train and teach our children how to walk in the blessings of the Lord. We want to teach our children how to use their imagination for good. We want to teach our children that they can be all that they choose to be with their special gifts and talents because the Lord God Almighty wants to see them succeed even more than you do. In 3 John verse 4, God says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, God's greatest joy should be our greatest joy. And when you get that joy in your heart to train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's one of the secrets of radiant living. And ladies and gentlemen, what I've spoken to you today, these are the words of the Lord. Amen. Amen.